So we've been going through the book of Revelation, and as John is writing this in the presence of the Lord, it's interesting to know that John writes, whoever reads this book will be blessed. And I hope you are being blessed as we're going through the book of Revelation. There is just so much. I could easily teach a course on this for a year and not even hit everything I want to. But it's revealed to us because God wants us to look forward to heaven, amen? But with every good thing that we have, there are the bad things, right? You got to take the good with the bad, and we're hitting a issue here right now. Well, actually, you look in life, you look in nature, you look at people, you look all around you, and you look toward the Lord. And you know, you can find always the good in everything, right? Amen? There's always the good. So even with yourself, too, because sometimes we disappoint ourselves. So we've been going through the trumpet judgments, excuse me, my pronunciation. And they're there, and these judgments are getting worse and worse. The tragedy today, people aren't repenting. And when you see a sovereign God judging the earth and judging mankind, you know, look, God did not cause those two trees to fall down Barbara's house. No, he didn't. It's because we are cursed. This world is cursed with tornadoes, hurricanes. You know, like they say down south along the Mississippi Delta, bad things happen to good people. They call it the blues, you know. A lot of music started down there. But, you know, today we look at people, we want to see them come to know the Lord. So, we're looking at here, hell on earth. Well, of course, the title is, and I'm not really into titles, but I like to do expository preaching. But it is like hell coming on earth with these locust creatures that are coming up. And we're going to be looking in this in the next 12 verses. But the demonic realm is very real. Like my pastor told me many years ago before I got into the ministry, he said, whenever I preach about the demonic realm, I get hit with all kinds of battles. And I tell you what, I've had my share. We all have our share, right? Because Satan tries to blot out the truth. He tries to soften us up so we're not strengthened in the gospel, tries to find all kinds of ways. So last week I used that illustration about the armor of God. Some of us have, instead of sharp swords, we have dull swords. Our shields of faith have been worn down. Our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, God help me, has holes in it. Okay? Our shields of righteousness have been dulled by the world. It's been, you know, it needs to go to the grinder or the metalsmith and get things need to be grinded down to let it shine, to polish it up or sharpen up our sword, so to speak. And the belt of truth, like I said last week, is sagging sometimes because the truth is very hard to say nowadays because people don't believe in absolutes. And somebody joked with me, well, at least they know that they believe in absolutes, so they have to believe in an absolute, right? It's a confusing world we live in today because they're taking, like it says in Isaiah chapter 5, telling the truth as a lie and the lie is the truth. So we see that in the news today. We're tired of hearing it, but we're praying. We're praying. And that's what I forgot to mention last week. Like it says in Ephesians 6, Paul says, make sure you do it with all prayer and supplication, either individual prayer or general prayer. Sometimes I can't think of everybody while I'm praying during the day. I said, Lord, take care of the whole church, you know, the local church. Lord, take care of the universal church, right? Take care of us all because we need your help. Because people need to know the Lord. And like Paul said, I'd rather go home to be with the Lord, but I'd rather be here with you today, right? So we need each other. We need each other more than ever before. So, all right, chapter 9, as we start, the pit is unlocked. Excuse me. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. And to him, remember, that's a pronoun. So it's talking about the star is actually a person. It's an angel, I believe. I believe it's Satan himself. It's a personal pronoun, pardon me. So it's an, of course, then he went ahead and was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, I will say this, that God's in control of everything, amen? He's sovereign. He's over everything. People want to get saved? Well, they have a choice. We all have choices. Whosoever calls upon the Lord will get saved. But God is also, he does not predestine some people to hell and some people to heaven, right? He foreknew from the very beginning when each one of us would get saved, and he knows the day when we will go home to be with him. And I want to comfort that with you, and he's even control over the demonic forces today. There's nothing more than they can do when we submit to him. James 4:7, therefore submit yourself to the Lord, and the devil must flee. Whatever spirit is oppressing you, it cannot possess you. If you're unsaved, yes, it can either come in these spirits, disembodied spirits. They can come into, missionaries have told me, go on, be careful what you bring home from overseas, because they can come into objects. Or if you're not saved, then they can come into people, okay? And anyhow, a lot I learned from demonology through seminary and college. So anyway, it is a star from heaven, and his name is Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the little god. He's the one who wants to be the fourth member of the Trinity. Anyway, God's in control. This is what's going on. Looked at last week with the fifth trumpet. We were looking at the fourth trumpet last week, excuse me, and the third, and the second, and the first. That the vegetation was struck down, and then the seas became contaminated. We won't get into all that. The waters, third trumpet, and then of course you had the seawater was contaminated. Then you had the fresh water. We got into many more details in that last week, and then the heavens were struck, and of course a third of the sun did not shine, and the moon, and what that causes too. We looked at last week. Temperatures would be cooler, and therefore you would have, a very uncomfortable situation. So, we look at this star that comes down from the universe, and it has the idea here that this angel, I believe, is the devil, is allowed to open up this pit. And the idea here is that this bottomless pit in verse 2, it opens the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. It has the idea of a cylinder, of an endless cylinder from the bottom. There is nothing there to hold it. It just keeps on going down and down. There is no bottom. People mentioned hell. Now remember, before Christ died, Christ went down, like it says in 2 Peter, and he preached to the spirits in prison. Okay? I believe, well, like it says the rich man there in Luke chapter 16, he had the rich man, when he died, he lifted up his eyes, right? And he had his five senses. You just imagine wanting something to drink. You can't drink anything. If you were a drug addict, you were found wanting. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. And I don't very rarely preach about that, because usually preachers get up here and talk about they're the ones with the problems. When they're constantly banging people on the head, it's like, come on, what is your problem? Yeah, right. I've seen that happen. The point is that you had two compartments. You had one was in the abyss. You had one was paradise. And you had the other one, which was Hades. When Christ resurrected, preaching to the spirits down there, 3 days, remember, he was in hell, which I believe is in, and there's scripture to back this up, and I don't have time to get into it, but it's in the innermost parts of the earth, Ephesians chapter 4, Christ went down there, and then when he took the saints of God, the Old Testament saints with him, of course Enoch didn't matter because Enoch was with the Lord 365 years and God took him. Isn't that great? One day we're going to go to. So he goes up, takes the saints with him, and what happens is that hell enlarges itself. It has the abyss, the bottomless pit is hell. Okay? And there are angels there that did not keep their first estate before the flood of Noah, and there's just so much I want to say more about it. But we'll get there when we get there. And so this shaft has the idea it's under a lock and key. So God calls Satan down. He's going to come down and take care of this. And it's, of course, a personal pronoun. So you have a place there called the bottomless pit, the abyss. And that will be one day where Satan's going to be for 1,000 years. He's going to go there. Mighty angel is going to take him by chain him up through the power of God, because even Michael, when he disputed with Moses, said, Lord, rebuke you, because he was the anointed cherub, and he fell because he wanted to be the fourth member of the Trinity, and he still does. That's why he's so angry, and he's full of hate, especially God's children. We're committed, we are in the image of God. Why does Satan go after the abortion product? Because we are part of the image. Why he likes to kill babies. He's a Hinduist. I don't like talking about him. But Luke 8:31 says they were imploring him not to be commanded to go away into the abyss. That's when you had Legion had 2,000 demons in him, and he went into the pigs. The pigs lost their mind. They went into the sea. Jesus says, you know, it's going to be more bearable for the people for Sodom and Gomorrah, because you people have rejected me. Jesus was there. I often ask myself, well, what's going to happen, Jesus, if you were to come today? If you were to walk here, would it be any different? I don't think it would be any different. I really don't. I think people are simple. We are simple. We're all about ourselves, what we want. We're our own little God, the lie that was given back in the garden. You know, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. And we know very well, we don't get very far with that. Most people, ignorant, we are, when it comes to the sovereignty, the universe, everything. We're just learning everything over. God had to destroy everything, I believe, Genesis chapter 6, because things were so evil. And yet, we're learning things now that we knew there was past civilizations. Why are there pyramids under the oceans and all? Because there was a flood, right? And I'm just saying this because it, like the days of the son of days of Noah and the son of Sodom and days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so it will be coming of the Son of Man. That's talking about at the end of the tribulation period, and we're seeing things as it is. You know, trying to make the best of our lives, but you know, remember, things start getting worse out there. Remember, God's in control. Things are changing all the time. We're in the age of information. And things are changing so quickly. What we thought was right is wrong, you know. And God's just saying, just stay in the straight and narrow. Just follow me. Focus on Christ in these crazy times. And they're not going to get any easier, okay? I think down the road. But I'm saying this to encourage you. Christ is coming back, right? He's coming back. So we got heaven to enjoy. This is temporary. So anyway, Romans 10:7 says, and who will descend to the lowest abyss? That is Christ, bring Christ up from the dead. So thank God we have a resurrection. You know, we enjoyed Easter a couple weeks ago, you know. And, you know, we live in the resurrected life. Do we have that? So, verse 2, we see that, oh yes, by the way, 2 Peter 2, 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels, they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to the pits of darkness, reserved for judgment." So there are angels there in the pit now. Jude 6 says, "And the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under the darkness for judgment of the great day." So, I believe these were the sons of God, the Elohim, the ones in Genesis chapter 6. They did not keep their first estate. They cohabitated with women, and they bore giants, Nephilim. And why does this happen to be where, you know, looking for bones and archaeological evidences? Because certain people don't want it to be found. Because, and I'll get into that later at a different time. But you have different angels here. You have angels, that the unfallen angels, the elect that God has. I use that word mildly, because those are the ones that chose to stay with God. Okay? They had a choice too. Two-thirds of them stayed with the Lord, and the other third went with Satan. And then, of course, there are the ones that rebelled, that are demons. There are ones that are loose and active right now. And, of course, the ones that are confined, I just mentioned. And then there are the ones that are temporarily confined that we're looking at today, the locusts. And then, of course, the ones that are permanently confined. So, you know, there are disembodied spirits. You can't see them. But they're out there. And there's nothing good about them. There's nothing good about the devil. So, from the very beginning, it's been a battleground from the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3. Also, it was evident in the life of Job. There was a spiritual battle. And in Job chapter 1, and remember, Satan came before God. "So let me test your servant." And later on, like it says in Job, that God found his Redeemer, okay? And if people seek the Lord, they will know that he is there at the open door. And then he also, there is a battle with God's people in Israel. In 1 Chronicles 21:1, it says there that Satan stood up and resisted. So it's very real. It's nothing like, it's just like pastime stories or bedtime stories. This is all real. And of course, Christ, during his ministry, through his temptation, at his weakest point, you know, when we're weakest, that's when he comes after us. There is no rules with this force. The Jewish leaders attacked Christ. Remember, Christ said in John chapter 8, "You're your father, the devil." Why? Because the devil is working right through him. The same thing with Peter. He says, "Peter, Satan wants to sift you." Think about it. Okay? It's all about the battle for the mind. And then, of course, there is Judas. He was the son of perdition, which means he was a child of hell. He was also found out to be, you know, judged for his sins. And then, of course, my point is that Satan will try his best during the tribulation point. This is why I'm telling you all this. Because he knows his time is short. He is fierce. He's angry. He's cast out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12. And he's angry because right now Satan can come before Christ. Christ is where? At the right hand of God, right? And Satan can come and accuse each one of us. "Look how they sinned." Jesus, "No, I'm the advocate. Father, I've forgiven them through the blood. It's been washed in the blood. Thank God for that." And yet, you know, you cannot touch them. You know, God will allow, like he did with Job, he will allow each one of us to go through trials what to strengthen us, to help us. So don't feel bad about this. Remember, and this has always helped me, there are other people going through similar things. Some people are going through worse things. You know, and I never teach or preach to compare ourselves to one another. Never do that. Each one of us is an individual God loves. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that we looked at last week. And that you'll be able to stand against what? The schemes of the devil. It means the tricks. You look good, don't believe it. Okay, he's an angel of light. Don't believe it. No, he will masquerade any way he can around you. Okay, it's okay. You know, you come up with excuses, or you think I'll try this. You know how it works, and you know he wants you to get away from God as much as you can, to stumble, to fall, and to take the glory away from God. And then it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Oh, that helps quite a bit. So don't take it personal. When somebody, even a Christian brother or sister, upsets you, remember you're fighting against flesh and blood. Don't let it, like you say, like the water that rolls off the duck's back. I don't know whoever came up with that one. But it says here, but against rulers. Those are the politicians, the generals in the background. In other words, world rulers around the world. Like in Iran, you wonder why in the world these people keep on fighting back. And what they do is because they're under control of the prince of Persia, like it says in Daniel chapter 10. And Daniel was fighting with the prince of Persia about his prayer. You ever felt, sure, we've had fights. Some days you feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling, right? Well, I guarantee you, that's a spiritual battle. Sometimes you are washed in the blood. You've confessed your sins. It seems like, man, I am having a dilly of a day. But yet God knows about that too. He wants you to be faithful, get on with your life, and live it according to Christ. So there are generals and politics, against rulers, against powers. Those are the religious realms around the country. Islam. You got all kinds of religions out there today. Buddhism, Hinduism, on and on. Even Jehovah's Witnesses, even the Mormons. They're all against. Just about every time I go out, there's always something when you try to evangelize. I remember they had a few years ago, and Karen was there too. We're out passing out tracts down to Bandshell during the summer, and Hope was playing there, and we decided to give out tracts. Well, sure enough, the Mormons were out there too doing the same thing. So, you know, it's a battle, okay? We need to strengthen ourselves. And then against worldly forces, you know, these are the lieutenants. This is military. There's a lot of there are a lot of governments today that are Tertullian controlled. That means they're dictators. And Satan is one of them. We'll find out that in going into the book of Revelation. And then, of course, worldly forces of darkness against spiritual forces and wickedness. And the devil has a lot of his privates going around, tempting us, trying to cause fear in our lives in heavenly places. So we're in the first heaven, this realm around here, with the prince of power of the air, and then we have the universe that we can see in the stars, the second heavenlies. Third one is where God's throne room is. And so we have that, and, you know, it's everywhere. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. What he's trying to say is put on the whole armor of God, because each one of those pieces of armor, your shoes being prepared for the gospel of peace, God wants us to witness. God wants to make sure we're a helmet of salvation. God knows that we're saved. We can't lose our salvation. God wants us to go ahead and take it all with us into the battle, each piece of that armor. And I tell you what, you might have a hard day in this world, but you've had a good day in the Lord, right? Amen? I'm sure we've all fought a battle. Feels like, Lord, I'm so tired, I can't think anymore. That's a good thing. Except if you start getting saliva coming out of the side of your mouth, like one person said, you're so tired, you're exhausted. God is there with you. So let's go on to verse 3. The power unleashed. 3 through 6. Verse 3. It says this, and then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and with them was given power as scorpions of the earth, and have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing, any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their head. Well, I'm going to stop there. So, number one, we know that anthropologists will tell us that locusts do not have a leader. Remember years ago, you have every 7 years, you had the cicadas come out. Remember those nasty-looking things? About the size of a locust. But in the Word of God, Proverbs 30:27 said, the locusts have no king, yet they advance in ranks. I believe that Satan in the spiritual realm is that king that will direct it. Remember, God's sovereign over everything. And also think about it, where we went through the previous trumpet judgments. We have in chapter 8, verse 7, we have a third of everything's been destroyed. All green things have been destroyed. We talked about the oxygen supply, et cetera, last week. And then, of course, because of that, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1, the winds were held back. And if you hold back the winds, the things will dry out because moisture can't move through the atmosphere. Now, you're saying, yeah, that if you have wind, that can dry things out. But in this way, it's so quiet, you know, before the judgment happens. So anyway, you have these locusts that they come out. And locusts usually come out between May and September, okay? And the longevity is only like 5 or 6 months, anyhow. And so you have the locusts, as well as they have a sting of a scorpion. Now, it's interesting. If you go to some of these Mideast countries, they have the meanest scorpions, especially the gray ones. They can kill you if you get one sting. That's why you see in the movies, they're cowboys everywhere, right? Thank God for cowboys. No, if you get a scorpion in there, okay, that's why they shake the boots out, right? You know, if they sting you, you can have severe convulsions, paralysis, resemble somebody who's demon-possessed. So, you know, you get people who get stung like this, it's very painful. And if you don't get to the hospital, it can kill you within days. So these creatures, I believe, they are demon-activated, okay? I'm not going to read into it more than what the Bible literally says. Of course, you do have pictures in Revelation. You have different ideas in Revelation. But I'm sticking to the expository preaching of the Word of God. So, just as a side note I put here, remember, demons never help you. They hurt you. Don't play around with Ouija boards. Go down to the tarot card place. Christians get into worldliness. That's when they start getting in trouble. And one person says, I can't tell the difference between an unsaved and a saved person, a worldly Christian, unsaved and a worldly person. You can't tell the difference. Okay? So just saying that. And then, of course, the seal of God in verse 4, you know, thank God. And now these demon creatures are one thing, but thank God we have a seal on us. Ephesians 1:13, we have the seal of his promise, the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. So Satan cannot touch us unless God allows. Number two, 2 Timothy 2:19, we have the seal, and God knows his from the foundation of the world. Paul's writing Timothy. It says, you know, be a good soldier. I hope and pray that we've been good soldiers this week, because it gets pretty intense. But you know what? Remember, God has his seal. You belong to him. Revelation chapter 7, we looked at the 144,000 sealed on the head. Okay? And we know also that Satan always tries to have a counterfeit. And of course, the seal of the 666. We'll look at that down the road. There's so much information. Information, knowledge shall increase. People will go to and fro, and the end will come. Right. So it's trying to keep up with information that we have today. You know, the judgment is coming, but judgments become more intense. But God remembers in his wrath his mercy. Remember, the opposite of judgment is mercy. Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. You know, God has every right to perform his wrath upon this country, places around the world. He has that. One day he will do that. He's doing that. Why? Like we said this before. So that people repent. Has nothing to do with God saying, you know what, I'm going to get back at you, you evil-minded people, and you messed everything. No, God's saying, repent. This is all about repentance. People miss that. So, the tragedy is in verse 5 and 6, as we look at the powers unleashed. It says here, and they were not given authority to kill him, but to torment them for 5 months. In other words, if you aren't part of the 144,000, they were sealed. We know that. But for those people that are saved, remember, they're going through persecution at this time. God is saying, look, you know, I have mercy, but there's a clock, too, and the time is ticking. So when they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months, their torment was like a torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days, we'll seek death and will not find it. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. That's why I looked down at verse 12 about the name of Abaddon and Apollyon. We'll look at that in a little bit. But it says here, and they will desire to die and death will flee from them. How horrible that is. You know, I look at Noah's flood. Yeah. They had a chance to repent, and they didn't. They mocked and made fun of Noah and his sons. But Noah was faithful. And, you know, remember, things were back in those days different in the sense how the world was. There was a lot more oxygen. People were bigger in stature. There were vegetarians. There were dinosaurs. But archaeologists and anthropologists have found out that the brain of the dinosaur was so much smaller, so much smaller. Of course, the curse happened, and you had to be careful around those big monsters. But the point is, 40 days and 40 nights, it rained, you know. And then, of course, you have 5 months of these horrible creatures stinging people. And so it was not a very pleasant thing, but believe the more you witness to people, the greater the judgment that they have. I know one missionary told me in the Czech Republic, I tell people about Jesus one time and that's it. Because she was so afraid, she was an independent missionary, so afraid of God's judgment upon them. You know, greater the witness, greater the judgment. And I kind of agreed with her, but disagreed with her too, because there are people who witnessed to me before. Finally, God said to my heart, if you reject me one more time, that's it. And I know some people are like, what do you mean? I was like, oh yeah, God has kept me from things even when I wasn't saved. I didn't know about him, but my conscience told me, don't do it again. You know, you play with fire, you get burned. You know what I mean. It says here, 1 John 5:18-19, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, and he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So we know who isn't and who is by a loving discernment that we have through the Word of God and our spirit, whether we'll bear witness with somebody else's spirit. A lot of people out there call themselves Christians, but that's between them and the Lord, right? I'm not going to call them liars. But I look at their churches that they go to, their doctrine, and some people even take it further than that. Well, I know some people that are saved in certain churches. I'm like, that's okay. Probably they are. But you know what? That's between them and the Lord. But all you can do is witness to people. If they tell you to leave or they get really angry at you because you witnessed to them, you know, I don't care what denomination are you. Whose Jesus do you serve? Whose Jesus do you love? Okay? And once they get really angry at me, don't want to talk to me, then, you know, all right, it's time to go. All right, so the shape of the locust we see here, this verses 7 to 10, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. These are mighty war horses. These are prepared by God, okay? Remember, demons are spirits. They're disembodied spirits, and they want to enter into something. So God, I believe, prepared something for these bodies for them. Okay? The verse 7, the golden crowns on their heads has the symbolicism of conquerors. So they're the war horses in shape. They're also golden crowns for as conquerors. Faces are like a man, verse 7. They're very intelligent. They have emotions. That's why they can speak like they do. If they can find somebody to speak through, they'll talk through that person. Okay? Don't ever underestimate the enemy. Be careful. Be discerning. His verse 8, the hair like a woman attractive to people. In other words, be a seductive charm about the beauty of a woman's hair. Okay. A woman's hair is her glory. Okay, these are just pictures here. Remember, he's trying to write down something he's never seen before. I don't think we would have done a much better job than that. You know, this man was like 2,000 years, John, the beloved. It's 2,000 years before his time. He tried the best he could to figure this one out. Okay, how to lure their victims. So they're very bad for people. They could torment people. At the same time, they're very seductive. Okay? And remember, the person could not flee from these creatures. So their teeth are like a lion. They in other words, they bite infectious and it's painful. Remember, it's like a bite of a lion. It's full of bacteria. It could kill you, okay, with a bacteria from dirty teeth. Then we see in verse 9, breastplates of iron. So they are insensitive to the suffering of humans, because that's where our heart is, our seat of emotions. Talk about the heart. They used to call it the liver back in the King James time instead of the heart. And they will be oblivious to people screaming out and crying for mercy. Totally oblivious. And the wings sound like chariots in verse 9, implies swiftness. Used to be back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah's time. We went through this through Wednesday night's Bible study. People hear those chariots coming, and it was a horrible sound because it caused a lot of fear. And it's just like these winds that came through here a couple of weeks ago, 70-mile-an-hour winds. In Alaska, they had hurricanes. They don't talk about like tornadoes in Kansas where we've been. Very destructive, you know, trees bending over. And then, of course, stings in their tails, the pain and torment of men is the sole objective, so it's to torture them. But you know, the tragedy is, folks, they still won't repent. It's amazing how strong sin is. By the grace of God, so are we. And I tell you what, I look at myself, think about myself, there is nothing. Why would you even choose me, Lord? There's nothing about me. But he loves me, right? He loves you. Oh, how he loves you. How he loves me. You know, that song. They have a king over them. In fact, in verse 11, he's given in the Greek and a Hebrew. It says this in the Hebrew, Abaddon, which means destruction or ruin. Apollyon, which means destroyer. So, there are people who are oppressed by demons today that they're out there actively destroying themselves. They don't even realize the things of the world. They're Christians today. They're destroying themselves actively because they let the destroyer come into their life, destroy them. Now, I'm not talking about the curse of the world, but there's a real destruction going on with mankind today. And so we see the appearance of the unveiled, verses 7 through 10, the princes unmasked. We've seen that as well. So what is our application today for this? Number one, God reminds absolutely that he's sovereign over judgment, verses 3 and 5. He knows all things. He understands all things. He knows when we're going to die. Thank God, I don't want to know when I die, because I want to live by faith. And Lord, when you're ready to take me, that's good enough for me. All of us can say amen to that. We've been through enough already, but we're here because we love our loved ones, like Paul said. You know, I'm here to lead people to Christ. God has a reason for each one of us to be here today. And remember, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, died for each one of us. It's just wonderful. And then, of course, God's sovereign, even in chaos. Notice there's a repeated phrase, they were allowed. So God allows things to happen. Remember, trials and tribulations happen to strengthen us, to help us, not to hurt us. And certainly we shouldn't hurt each other. Please, if we're thinking bad thoughts of one another, I'm not saying we're doing that right now. But if that comes up, get it under the blood. And a lot of times it's not from you, it's from the evil one trying to work in your life. Okay? Even demonic forces operate on a leash. God's saying, "Oh, you're not gonna touch her. You're not gonna touch him. Get back." You know, especially if you submit to the Lord, he must flee. Number two, evil is neither random or ultimate. Even in times and like, God allows bad things to happen in this world today for a reason, because he has a plan. We don't understand that all the time, but remember, he loves us, and even when we feel dark or oppressive, in verses 1 and 4, and then verses 7 through 11, there's spiritual blindness leads to spiritual bondage. There were people that would not accept the Lord, even though all this was going on. I can't believe it. Well, we know that, don't we? People we witnessed to, even people I've witnessed, people in their deathbed, and they're just like, no. I it's nice what you have to say, and I'm like, you know, but remember, they make choices. You know, God doesn't send people to hell. He doesn't automatically send people to heaven. We all have our choices. And then, of course, there's that. And let's share some scripture verses. Remember to keep in mind that Ephesians 6:12 says that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and evil. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he must flee. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 emphasizes that our weapons of warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to demolish the strongholds and take thoughts captive. 1 Peter 8:9 warns to be sober and alert as the devil prowls about like a roaring lion. Luke 10:19 confirms that authority has been given to believers to overcome all power of the enemy. It does not mean that I command the spirit to come out in Jesus' name. That's apostolic teaching. That's not true. That's telling God to do what he needs to do. No, I don't believe in that. Some of these churches are just circuses. They're just there for the money and for the power and all the other wrong things. But God has given us the authority in Jesus Christ to deal with our own lives, not somebody else's life. And if you feel like you're being oppressed, you know what? Get behind me. I got something else better to do today. You're a defeated foe, and get it under the blood of Christ and march on. 1 John 4:4 says, dear children, you are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is greater than the one is in the world. Why am I saying these verses? Because you need them. You need to remember these verses. Remember scripture verses. And of course, Romans 8:37-39 sources that believers are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we are the conquerors. We're in the battle. It gets very hot and heavy. It gets very stressful. But thank God he gives us the strength. Amen? He gives us the strength. I'm asking you, I'm imploring you by the mercies of God, just use the Word of God. Use it today. Don't let it just sit there. And I've been guilty of that, where I'm like, you know what, I need to read this verse. I need to study this, and then I forget. God brings it to my mind again. I could be stubborn, you know. But God understands that. And God's saying, you're missing on a blessing. There's a warfare that's going on. And pray that we'll take that seriously. And we will continue on with the next trumpet, okay? And pray that people get saved. And I'm going to go ahead. We're going to have our song. But I'm going to give an invitation Go ahead, Karen. You can come on up before we sing our song here. I'm just going to have a quick prayer, then we're going to have a song, then I'm going to have a closing prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you now in prayer. And if you heard, and if God's speaking to you, you must be saved from your sins. Remember, believe it on faith what Christ did with his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe it in the heart. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life. You realize that you're a sinner, but you got to live by faith before you confess it. You have to come to the point where you know you did wrong and you get things right. Christians today, my friend, if you're watching online, Christians today are constantly confessing their sins. Did they lose their salvation? No. It's called progressive sanctification. You're once saved, you are always saved, and you're being saved. In the future, you're saved. You know your salvation is from the beginning to the end, because God's the Alpha and Omega. He's from the beginning and end. We know these things. As through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.